Thank you, Lord. I don't know if I could go for an hour, but we'll give it a shot. First, I wanted to share a story with you about my dog, Coco. I knew it was going to blow. Can you move it a little bit that way? Yeah. That's good, I think. Yeah, that's better. Maybe not. It was just a week ago. I was in our bedroom, and we recently got a larger puppy dog, and everybody knows that large dogs, and as a puppy, they're lots of work, and they require lots of care and attention. Anyways, so we've been giving a lot of care and attention to our new dog, Hobbs, and it seems like our little dog, Coco, has kind of got abandoned. So that one night, I went into our bedroom, and I was snuggling with Coco and just giving him some love, and he started making these noises. It was like, and he was just taking it all in, and it was kind of funny because we've heard him do that before, but not to that degree. So he's been missing the love from his mother, right? So as soon as I stopped doing that, Coco looked up, and there's often times when we have worship going in our house, our dog will start to look up into the air, and I know that he sees the angelic realm when he senses it in the room. And at that moment, the Lord spoke to me, and he said that angels like to hang around where there is love because it is the language of heaven. So remember, if you want heaven in your home, love, it's the key to heaven. That was just a free one. I'm not talking about love or anything like that today. Thank you. An elderly lady was known for her faith and her boldness and talked a lot about it. She would stand on her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout, "There ain't no Lord." Hard times set in on the elderly lady, and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord. God, I need food. I am having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." The next morning, the lady went out on her porch and saw a large bag of groceries and shouted, "Praise the Lord." The neighbor jumped from behind a bush and said, "Ha ha, I told you, there is no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and saying, "Praise the Lord. He did not only send me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." Come on! Isn't that good? You always have to remember that God will use whatever to send to you whatever you need, right? I love that. I laughed when I read that one. Okay, on a serious note. I don't like serious notes, but anyways. In the beginning of summer, God was highlighting this picture to me. And it was a picture of a large tree. And then the root system of the tree was almost just as large, if not larger, than the actual tree. And I started to, Sierra and I started to doing what's called like mandalas. Is that what they're called, where you go and color? And I found this picture of this large tree, so I've been kind of coloring it throughout the summer. But God was showing me one time that he said, "The lower your roots go, the less you will be moved by the things that are not of me." I knew at this point that I was being set up for something because he wants me to go deep, right? Of course. And then it was about probably, I'd say a couple weeks later, it was during worship here at church, and Donna was leading, and the glory was in the house. You could just feel God's presence like it was today. It was just phenomenal, but it was that presence where God can easily speak to you. And I heard the Lord say to me at that moment, he said, "I'm taking you into a season of hiding." And I was like, what is that? You've never been in that season before, but the Lord said, "I'm taking you there." So, of course, when you hear something like that from God, your first thoughts are, what does that look like? What does that entail? What are you going to do with me? And over time, you start to realize that God slowly starts to... It was like, I'd have to say it here, it was like a season of hiddenness is where our sense of value is disrupted. So the things that we value change. We're stripped of what others affirmed us to be. And in this season, God intends to give us an unshakable identity in him. So he's stripping us of everything that we think makes us, so we can be totally reliant on Him that makes us. Does that make sense? God wants us to understand, and I think I'm still in that season of hiddenness, and I'm preaching, so that's kind of cool. I'm not hiding, but I'm preaching, so that's different. It's not me, right? So God wants us to understand and interpret our times and seasons so that we can prosper in every season and have wisdom to advance through that. I need my phone. Scripture. In Proverbs 16:9. It says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So no matter how much we think that we know where we're going and what we're doing, it's God that actually has the way paved out for us, and we just kind of have to follow. It reminded me, when I started to step into this season of hiddenness, I started to do a little bit of research and about the different seasons, and it reminded me of the sons of Issachar. They had the Issachar anointing. In 1 Chronicles 12:31, fire. Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge and of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command. You see, the sons of Issachar understood the chronological time as well as the spiritual and political time that was happening in Israel. They discerned what God was doing, and they knew when He was doing it. They knew when one move of God was ending and when another move of God was beginning. They discerned when leaders were falling and others were rising up. And they were used as one of the three tribes that would go out in front of Israel whenever the nation was moving. So I really sense that they carried that corporate anointing, but as sons and daughters of God, we need to carry the actual personal anointing to know what season we're in, so then we can actually not be dragged through the seasons, but that so we could actually thrive in the seasons that God is taking us through. So as I'm doing digging and researching, trying to find out, okay, what does a season of hiddenness look like? Am I supposed to go and jump in a cave and hide from everybody and not talk to anybody and stuff like that? You're like, you don't know. So the Lord led me to the story in Elisha, the story of Elisha in 1 Kings 17:1-6. Are you following me, babe? Good. 1 Kings 17:1-6. Now Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely thou shalt be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." So Elisha was basically prophesying a famine in land. There's going to be a drought. There's not going to be any rain. And then the word of the Lord came to Elisha saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is the east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Now I know that ravens are, in the Old Testament, God used to talk about ravens as being one of the unclean spirits. So like that atheist man bringing the food for the woman, God will use whatever he wants to bring supply and food to you, right? I also realized to dig deeper in Psalms 23, because whatever season that you're in, there's always a table before you. God will always place a table before you that you need to trust in the Lord for the journey and the process. That he was preparing Elijah at this time for the next season where he would defeat the prophets of Baal. He was in that season for 3.5 years. So that would be like 2,000 meals that the ravens fed to him. So can you imagine being there for 3.5 years, being fed by ravens in this brook? I'm actually, when going through this season, I'm actually, God, I hope it doesn't last that long. You know, you always want your seasons to be fast and whatever, but God's got to do his work through the season that you're in. I looked up the Greek word cherith to see what it meant. And in Greek, it was a cutting or separation, a gorge, a torrent bed, or winter stream. So in that season, God was cutting off, cutting down, and destroying some things that were in Elijah's life. Obviously, he needed to do that in order so he could walk into his destiny. And I don't always like to share personal stories, but I've sensed just in the last probably 8 months to a year in our body, we've seen people come and go that have been in transition. People that are not sure of where they're going or where God is taking them in the next season. So that's why I felt led to just kind of speak on this a little bit, give us an idea of what season we're in. And I'm going to bring up a slideshow that will kind of define the differences of the season or what to look for in each season. So if you can you start that, babe? All right. So we're going to start at winter because I think that's the season of hiddenness. So in winter is a time when the earth seems to break and rest. There may be, things may seem dreary and confining. It might feel like God is far away and you can't see or notice anything happening around you. Anybody ever felt that? Yeah. It's where your faith feels dormant and you feel uncomfortable. It feels like God has deserted you, basically, and you actually have to exist on what has been stored up from previous seasons. That's a big one. When usually before you go into a season of winter, God will always give you food to keep you going through the next season. The next season is spring. Spring is fun around here. Everything seems new and blooming. It's a time of beauty and new growth. You will notice a new thirst and awareness for God, for more of God, so you're hungry more. Even though things around you may be moving around a lot, everything seems easy. I remember going through this season of spring where we were transitioning from moving from Edmonton to Kelowna to here, and it was like, even though everything around me was not staying still, everything was moving, I had peace and excitement because I knew I was in a spring season and that God was like moving things around so that he can put me in the right place. In that season, you will feel renewed and regenerated. Your hope and your promise start to rise again, and it feels like a time of new beginnings. That was 2008, new beginnings, when Kevin and I moved to the valley. Interesting. Next season is summer. Summer is a season where everything seems warm and relaxed. Your spiritual level of maturity or plateau has been reached for a time. Storms and turbulent weather come to bring us strength and make us appreciate the calm. You will notice a passion to belong and grow. You are filled with abundance and discovery. You feel satisfaction in God's love, joy, and peace, and you feel God's presence regularly. So that's kind of where sometimes the seasons in the natural aren't always the same as the seasons that you're in, obviously, right? So right now it feels like we're in a summer season. Some may be, some may not be. Everybody's in a different season at a different time. Sometimes corporate seasons go together, though. Yeah. We've noticed that. Fall. Fall is a season where you have the harvest, the growth of summer, and bear fruit. Is a time of transition, a time of preparation for the things of God that God is bringing. It might be a season where you're doubting God because you don't know where you're going and things that are uncertain to you. It's a time of testing and temptations. And it's a time that you'll be reminded that we live in a continual cycle of dying and rising. And it's a time of reflection. I know that without the ability to accurately discern the season you are in, you might miss many opportunities. If you miss one season, you might have to wait until the cycle comes around again, unless God reorders your seasons. With an awareness of the season you are in, you will be able to step into new spiritual truths and a greater ability to flow in the power of God. Always remember that anybody that has a high destiny calling on their life, it always requires more time, more effort to develop. Most people give up during the training and testing process. Don't give up, because there is a calling on each and every one of you, and sometimes it's not easy. And remember as well, right before a breakthrough from God, there's usually turmoil and storms that appear in order to get you distracted, because the enemy knows what's coming. That was a quote from James Gall. So I just did up a little thing of, okay, I know what season I'm in, I know the characteristics of that season. Now, what can I do to thrive in this season? What can I do so that this season doesn't take me out and it doesn't take me longer to go through? So always remember that no season lasts forever. In Philippians 4, 11, 12, and 13. Is everybody getting this? Anything from this yet? Good? Yes? Okay. Philippians 4, 11, 12, and 13. Not that I speak, this is Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Always remember that a season is not a sign that you are a good or a bad person. It's just a season, and God's taking you through it. Never let the season that you are in define who you are. Most seasons are followed by opposite seasons. I don't know if you've experienced that. I have. Build consistency in every season. One of my biggest keys is to stay in the glory and stay steadfast. That's all you can do. Sometimes you're just like hanging on. Just got to stay in the glory, stay in His presence. Learn from every season that you are in and be thankful and full of praise. I think thankfulness is a huge thing. No matter what's going around you, always be thankful, because you know God's got you. He's got you covered. He's got you in the palm of His hand. Keep the right season in your heart no matter what's going on the outside. You can do that. It's a choice. You choose what you focus on, because sometimes there's more than one reality than you're thinking about. God is at work in every season. Embrace the season. Be present. There is power in today. God is not interested in building your vision first. He's interested in developing you first. That's a quote from Banning Leashfear. I came, as I was going into the season of hiddenness, he just released a book called Rooted that I want to read. I've just read little blurbs from it, but wow, it looks powerful. So it's a good way to get yourself rooted and grounded in your identity in God. Always live from a place of provision, that Psalms 23 table that God always has before you. Never look at or want to be in another person's season. That's a hard one, especially when you've got people close to you and they're like soaring and you're like, oh my God, where am I? It's true. Always build, and this is one of the things that Banny said in his Rooted book. He said, always build what's in front of you right now. He told the story about Nehemiah and building the wall, and he gave instructions to the people that were there to build the wall right in front of their home. It was a representation of doing what was right in front of you right now. The grace that's in front of you right now, that's where you build, and that's where you live for that time, right? I know in the season that I'm in right now, there's been different graces and stuff, but the grace right now in my season is on administration. God's got me learning how to run a church, so that's where I'm at. It's good. It's okay. I'm just comfortable and, yeah, loving it. One of the other things that was really important when I'm going through any kind of hard times is always live in community. There's been many times in my walk as a prayer leader, even in this body, where sometimes the enemy will come in and start to speak some lies over you or to you, and you start to believe those lies. And the longer you stay away from the body of Christ, the harder it is to pull out. It's true. The harder it is to pull out of those seasons and erase those lies that the enemy has spoken over you. So when you say yes to something, you're always saying no to something else. So be careful what you say yes to. When I was preparing for speaking, the Lord told me to look through some of the dreams that I've had in my past. And one of the dreams that he highlighted was, it was a dream after we moved to this church here. And I think it was when we were still with Paul Taylor and County Line. And in the dream, God had some of the leaders of the church come up and tell the church what they thought the spirit of truth was. So I guess it happened. I don't remember hearing any of what the people said about what the spirit of truth was. But then in the next part of the dream, I was sitting in the front row, and this person that I know that was hurt in the church, she basically came and sat on my knee and said, I'm ready to be delivered. And it was like, okay, for the longest time, I couldn't figure out what God is saying in this dream. And I believe as I was pressing into him when he showed me this dream again, that it's the spirit of truth that breaks the lies over your life. So I believe that he wants to release that spirit of truth in this house today. If you look in John 16, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Who is the Spirit of truth? It's the Holy Spirit, right? So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you in all truth. So it's the Holy Spirit that releases truth. And he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears from heaven, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit will always reveal truth of what you're going through, what's coming. But the thing that really got me was, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So that, did you know that when you speak truth over somebody else, it actually brings glory to God? Does that make sense? I got that revelation. I was like, wow, I never knew that. When you speak truth over someone, it gives God glory. Speaking life and truth over someone gives God glory. I came across this quote from Danny Silk that kind of really rang with my spirit. He said, we seem to be in a time and a season when if you are discerning something that isn't right, you're called critical, controlling, or even negative. But maybe, just maybe, our discernment is unto acknowledging those things that are keeping us from walking in the kind of godliness that the great power, effectiveness that could transform the world around us. Something to think about, eh? I'm just going to play a short video I came across of Todd White, and he talks about how people have been hurt in the church. And I was going to, at this point in my message, I was going to just declare some declarations of truth over you, but I really felt that God wanted to go deeper in this message. So if you would just play that.
Around and I'm seeing people that have been hurt by the church. Listen, there are people here that have been hurt by the church, dude. How many of you? Raise your hands right now. You've been hurt by the church. Come on, be honest. Do it. Raise your hands. Let me ask you something. If you got hurt by the church, wouldn't that mean that the church didn't know who they were? Or they wouldn't have hurt you? If they walk like they're supposed to walk, like Jesus, would Jesus hurt you? No. So, if somebody hurt you, it means that they just didn't understand who they were when they did it. Do you get it? Well, watch this. If you got hurt by somebody that should have known better than not to do it, what makes it better? You not knowing who you were when they did it, or them not knowing who they were when they did it? Come on, dude. They didn't know who they were. They never would have said what they said or did what they did. And you didn't know who you were, you wouldn't have been hurt by something they should have never known, they should have never did. It's the truth. And you let that stuff be keep you in bondage for life? Jesus died for you, man. Sometimes we go to church to look for love. We're looking for love, so we go to the church to find it. But you don't find it, you find fault. Because you've been hurt, you're waiting to get hurt again. So you're nitpicking to find out, well, they don't love, I'll go to another school. And you go in here, and then all of a sudden, you're not supposed to go to church to find love. You're supposed to become love and book it. I promise. That was a word of knowledge that I heard in my heart as I was talking. Let's get that thing out, dude. People should have never done what they did. What happens when people despitefully use you? That means leadership sometimes, they get messed up and they take wrong things. Does that mean you get an attitude, or do you pray for those that despitefully used you? No, the thing in church is we cop out, we get mad, we get attitude, we call our friends, and they shouldn't have done that, they shouldn't have said this, let's pray for them. But it's not praying, it's gossip. It's twisted, it's demonic. So they did something wrong. So what are you going to do, puff up with pride and try to show off? That's not good, man. It'll kill you. It'll eat your lunch. And you become just like the one that did it to you. Come on, that one hurts. But it's good. It's good hurt because the Holy Spirit convicts and He changes the heart so you don't think that way anymore. You can't afford to go through and have attitude and problems with people because they hurt you. Man, they messed up. How many times did you mess up? Gosh, you hear my life? It's messed up.
I was like dumbfounded when I heard that. And he said, the church, if they hurt you, is not walking in what they're supposed to be walking in. If you get offended, you're not walking in what you're supposed to be walking in. That's powerful, right? When I was looking up the couple of dreams the dream that Lord was highlighting to me, He showed me two more. And one of the dreams was shortly after Kevin and I moved into the valley. And the dream started off where I was walking up the steps into a church, and the Lord was showing me stuff in the church, some of it good, some of it bad. And I was walking through the church and seeing all this stuff. And then the Lord took me into another room, and I saw some good. There was worship, and it was just fanatical worship happening in this room, and then I just kept walking, and then I realized that the church was empty now, and I didn't know what to do, so I started to try and find my way back to the front of the exit. And as I was doing that, I was walking through this room, and I looked down, and the whole floor of the room was red. And then I looked over at the walls, and all the walls of this room were red. And the Lord spoke to my heart in that time, and He said, this is my church, the church that I died for. There's blood everywhere. This is my church. You need to get that love for my church like I love my church. And that kind of started my journey of being called to the church. The second dream that I had, and it was when we were living in Kelowna, and I was just listening to some worship music from my old church, and it was a season of transition. And I was just laying there listening to this music, and I went into this vision. I had my eyes closed, but I went into this vision. And the Lord showed me this. It looked almost like a cavern or a ditch. And there was a bunch of broken bones and body pieces that were laying in this ditch. And He told me to stand there and hold out my arms like this. So I stood and held out my arms. And He started to place all of these broken bones and bodies and pieces inside of my arms. And then after He was finished doing a lot, He told me to bring my arms into my chest. So I brought my arms into my chest, and the Lord came from behind me, and He wrapped His arms, His wings actually, they turned into wings. He wrapped them around me, and He poured love into those bones. And it was like I felt like it was the valley of dry bones experience, where God was coming and pouring His love and saying to you, will these bones live? But it was like He was pouring His love out to make these bones live. And I feel like if there's anybody that's been in that season of dry bones, I just want you to raise your hand or stand up. If there's anybody that's in a season that they're not comfortable in, we talk about living in community. I want to see the body activated and praying for one another, because it's that that makes us stronger. We're stronger. It makes us stronger and actually makes our community stronger. So don't be scared. If there's something that you want prayer for, please stand up. If you're feeling that you're in a season where you've been hurt by the church, God wants to come and he wants to heal that season in you. He wants you to heal those places of brokenness so that you can walk into the fullness of what he's called. So I'm physically asking you, if you feel anything that God wants to, you want prayer for something, stand up and I'll have the body come and pray around you. It's a clean church. Nobody's hurt. This is awesome. Ah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Don't be shy, anybody else. It's like when you come through that door, this is family. You're coming into a family, and a family stands together, and a family prays for one another. So don't be shy. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just move. Holy Spirit, move. We need your presence, Holy Spirit. So anybody that's not standing, I just want you to go and surround these people and start to pray for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The first thing that I want you to do is to break off the lies. Because we are to fear God. We are not to fear man. Yeah. Just break off any of the lies that the enemy or man has spoken over these people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Looks like we might get out of here early today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we just speak to these hearts, Father. These hearts are yours. They belong to you. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, that your love covers a multitude of sins. So I just pray right now that you would break the lies of the enemy over these people's lives, Father God, and that you would fill them with your love. In Jesus' name. Fill him with your love, oh God. Fill him with your love, Jesus. Dan, get up and pray. Pray for someone. Come on. Do the stuff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He poured his blood out on the cross so that you can be free. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just lay it at the cross, Father. Every care and every burden, we just give it to Jesus right now. He carries it all for you. He carries everything for you. You don't have to carry a thing. It's his. It all belongs to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing, God. Amazing, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shadadadada, shadadada, bikiri, omomo. Kishadadadada. Thank you, Jesus. Any words of man, we just break them in Jesus' name. We want to hear from you, Father. We want to fear you, Father, more than we fear man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. This is the body. This is the love of God flowing through you. Thank you. Now I want you to continue to gather around these people, and I want you to start declaring life over them. I want you to start declaring that the grace that they need is here today. Declare that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives. Declare that they are special and that they're extraordinary. God doesn't make junk. And we want you to declare supernatural favor. I just declare over you all right now that God is going to make your crooked places straight. He's already lined up the right people, the right opportunities, and solutions to problems that you haven't had. No person, no sickness, no disappointment can stop his plan. What he promised will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to speak destiny over these people. I declare that you are equipped for every good work God has planned for you. You are anointed and empowered by the Creator of the universe. Every bondage, every limitation is being broken off of you. This is your time to shine. Come forth. You will rise higher. You will overcome every obstacle, and you will experience victory like you never have before.